Inside Out Ministries is just, if you can keep up with this guy, you're doing better than me. I can't keep up with him. He's here, there, and everywhere. He just came via, I think, Tennessee, Arkansas. And Lord knows where he's headed. He told me, but I don't remember. Nick the Greek has just been doing it for Jesus for years and years and years and years. You can't even burn the guy out. I mean, his camper burned down to the ground there last year or this spring. Yeah, this spring burned to the ground. So he just went and bought another one. Never missed a beat. Just kept right on going. So he has a powerful ministry. He ministers in jails, in prisons, in halfway houses and churches. And he just keeps going. He's such a blessing when he comes here. We want to bless this brother this morning. So dig deep and let's bless him. Let's pray for Inside Out Ministries and just ask that the Lord bless him and his in health. You can make checks payable to New Life Church. We'll make sure that every cent of it gets to Inside Out Ministries. Could you pray with me? Father, thank you, Lord, for this man of God in our midst. Thank you for the ministry. God, it's all you, Jesus. Nick would be the first one to say it's not about him, nothing to do with him. It's all you, God. And you've used him in powerful ways. Continue to do that, Father. Thank you for using him this morning as he comes and speaks to us from his very heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
But you just saw here a minute ago, we got the news that Ron, my fishing buddy, and Annette's father, he is in Fort Wayne Hospital. Lutheran Hospital there, and they flew him, lifelined him to Fort Wayne a few days ago, and they're talking to his heart failure, and right now things got a little worse, but we know our God is greater, amen? Yeah. Amen. Our God is greater, so we praying that among the living that he will testify.
Yeah.
You know, and the nice thing about it, that we just had a reassurance of accepting the Lord in his life, to make sure that, you know, a confession before his family. And so we need to lift him up. And you can give my stuff to Danny if you don't mind. Can't find your keys.
You can't have your stuff.
Okay. You found them?
No.
Great. This is the daughter of Ronnie, okay, Annette. And we've known each other for about 40 years. 40 years, Lord. That means I've been coming here 40 years. I've been coming here since 1975. That's when Danny used to have black hair. You know? Yeah. Uh-huh. And wisdom. Now, that's what we say, wisdom. That's wisdom. Wisdom. Anyway, it's good to be home. It's good to be among the family, you know? What I enjoy about, brother, what I enjoy about my life, what I enjoy about being in the ministry, that I get to see my Christian family on this earth. You know, as I travel from one place to another place, I get to spend a little time to get to know some of you, which I do, and then your children, your grandchildren. But anywhere I go, you know, I get to see my family, my Christian family, and I praise God for that. Last year, a friend of mine was driving through on 31 here, and he saw the sign outside which says Nick the Greek will be here Sunday. And in the, what was that, around June, I am normally up in Arkansas and Tennessee ministering, and that's where my friend is from. And so I was just there, and he says to me, is that the church you speak at? I says, yes, that's the church that I speak at. And he says, well, where did you go in Indiana?
South Bend.
South Bend. So it's not too far, I guess, right? No. South Bend. And my friend has involved in a ministry where they take rehab. They rehab folks. Why don't you just come up here for a minute? I'd rather hear from his mouth, you know, instead of me stammering. Okay, Jim Dandridge? That's a good Greek name.
Jim Dietrich.
Dietrich, that's what I said.
And you got to excuse me, I am not a speaker. I'm good one-on-one, but there's a whole lots of yous out there.
But the Lord spoke to him to buy a mountain. And upon top of this mountain, there's a ministry where they take guys that were involved in drugs and alcohol, and you know, and get their lives back together. So that's ministry. That's ministry. And so he's visiting here with us. We welcome him. And also, this will be another outlet if you ever know someone that needs a place to go and get rehabbed, as we say, you know. And, you know, it will be a nice outlet where we can, you know, send somebody like Teen Challenge we used to do. Send people no matter where part of the United States. We know people that know people that know people. Right. You know my people. Okay. And your sister?
Lori.
We God bless you for the work that you do. Would you stand up for a moment? Amen. Yeah. God bless you. Thank you. I love you, brother. I love you. Amen. This is what it's all about, you know, meeting, you know, you may never met me. Maybe you're just visiting here, you know, for the first time. But you are my brother and my sisters in the Lord. You know, we are. And, you know, we can all get around. And somebody gave a testimony earlier. Thank God that there was no incidents in yesterday here in our country. You know, our God is greater than ISIS. I want you to know that. Our God is greater than ISIS. I serve a risen Savior, you know, and He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we were talking about this yesterday, you know, about how great is our God and how can we express it? How there is no way you can even come close of knowing, you know. All I tell people is, I'm going to make sure this thing is off, if you don't mind, because I don't want it. Nobody to be calling me. Well, I know that's why I leave my phone always in the car. So as I was sharing, what was I sharing? Huh? You know, there was no incidents, and I thank God for that. And we need to pray for our country. Amen. We need to pray, and we need to pray for the President of the United States of America. This did not pass God all by. You know, this did not pass him over, you know. And, you know, we need to pray and that they will see the light.
Yes.
You know, and they will see the truth and the way. Yes. You know, that he is the way, the truth, and the light. There is no other. There is none other. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Muslims, they get to, are taught... They're taught that we Christians, we pray to three gods, that we are idol worshippers. And they're not to pick up the Bible at all because it is anathema to them. It is a curse. But once they pick it up and they find the truth, you know, it happened. And not too long ago, I was in a prison what's the name of the place where they make all those motorhomes here in Indiana? Elkhart. And I was in the prison in Elkhart, also in that jail there. Man, that's a big jail in there. And the sad part of the whole thing is that the inmate is getting younger and younger. 14 years old in there for murder. You know, 14 years old. You know, what can a 14-year-old do among all the other big guys there that, you know, that's a lot of fear, you know. And anyway, there was a Muslim there. You know, I like to read you his letter. Because he reminded me of the other Muslims that I meet. I met one in Arkansas, and we were getting ready to have a meeting in the chapel. And, of course, the chapel was a day room where they use it for multi-purpose, and they had to set it up for church. And I sat next to a young man while the place was getting ready, and I says to him, are you going to be at the meeting this morning? He says, I'm a Muslim. Like I'm supposed to be scared or something, the way he said it. And I just looked at him and I says, are you true to it? That's all I said to him. Are you true to it? You know, if you're true to it, 100%, more power to you. Well, he came and sat right where the pastor is sitting, right in front of me. The place is packed, standing room only. The windows are open so the other guys can see it. The TV is on so they can see it throughout the prison. What I was going to share. And as I'm sharing, this guy's just watching me. Because I do a lot of walking, and he's watching where I'm going back and forth. And finally, about two-thirds of my message, a whole army of Muslims walked in, you know. That's where I go into my prayer mode, you know, to my own Lord language that he has given me, you know. And I went, because I know who I am. I know whose I am, and I know the power that he has given me in his name, you know. Because in the olden days, I used to use names, you know. I says, you know who I belong to, you know. You know what my dad can do, you know. I'm still the same. I know what my dad can do. Hallelujah. 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 Well, anyhow, to make a long story come to an end, they came in and they stood right next to him. They picked him up and they went out. And of course, I prayed for him. Just before I gave an invitation, he's coming back in. Of course, his seat was taken. He must have been a big shot there or something. Because he stood there, and as soon as the man seen him standing, he got up and gave him back his seat, you know. Gave an invitation, and he came forward to receive Jesus as Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I waited to the end, and I says to him, tell me what happened. He says, when they came in, you can feel the hatred that they had for you and what you stand for. They told me that I had no business being in there with you, you know, that I should not listen to what you have to say. So, and they told me to leave. And I says, and what you did when you come forward? He says, you only said one thing to me. Are you true to it? He says, no, I'm not true to, I wasn't true to anything. Especially, I only became a Muslim because I wanted revenge. I wanted to get even, you know. But today he is a chaplain's clerk, you know. So he's a great witness. See, Pastor said it. See, Pastor and I, we had time for breakfast. I know his heart, soul winning, teaching people. Well, my thing is also calling people to the cross and calling people to Christ. That's talking to them in turn, because I'm serious in serving Jesus. I'm very serious in serving Jesus. And sometimes when I tell my story over and over and over, I think to myself, did I really do all that I said I did? Because it sounds to me weird now. It sounds like completely a different kind of person. Then I look in the mirror, or when I take a shower and I go over the knife wound or the shot, and then think of the stories, how the Lord saved me, my life, and saved those guns and not misfiring. So I've been living on a bonus ever since I can remember. He's been there, always there. He just didn't walk into my life. He's been there all my life. He answered my mama's prayers. So therefore, ever since he touched me, I can't keep my mouth shut. Hallelujah. I don't want to be replaced by a rock. There you go. I don't want to be replaced. I want to scream out, praise your holy name, Lord. Amen. And I am so thankful. Now listen to this one that I met in Indiana. In Elkhart, he says, my name is Mazen Sakhari, Mazen Sakhari, and I am from Iraq. Today you have come with Chaplain Mel. You know Chaplain Mel? And you go to Elkhart, don't you? In the prison? Do you ever go there? No, okay. Mel, and I recently I am so happy that I saw you. When I read your book the first time, I thought to myself, oh God, another Jesus freak. But when I read the book the second time, I finished it all the way, and I saw a miracle. What he was saying, I gave him the book, he lived through it the first time. He just lived through it. And he thought to himself, another Jesus freak. But the second time, he took time to hear what he was reading. And he says, what a miracle. That's why he was there, because it was a miracle. He says, I read the book the second time. Oh, I finished. Okay. My life can relate somehow to yours. You see, my family are very religious. And when I came here, that means when he came to America, it was different for me. You see, I was 16 years old. And I wanted to be a soccer player, But for some reason, my father wanted me to become a doctor. So I started on that. And I became a nurse in January of 2014. And that's when my life, and I got convicted for something that I would never even think of doing, or that I would never do. It's the first time I ever got in trouble. You see, I have a clean record, no drinking, no smoking, no bad acts or any bad influences. Just a college student who has kept his grades high and maintained a full-time job to support his family. You see, the kids are your social security over there. You know, your kids are the ones that take care of you when you get older. That's your retirement, is your children. So that's what he was saying, that he had a full-time job taking care of his family also, his father and mother. He says, full-time job to support my family. Well, just to remind you that I'm only 22 years old. Now that I am here, I have nobody but God. And I saw his work on my case and my family. He blessed my sister with a good job now, and my parents have a retirement. That's where he was kind of concerned about his parents having a retirement. Well, he goes on and talks a little about it himself. Then he says, the only favor I ask of you is to keep me in prayer. Keep me in your prayers. That's what he's saying. So when I get out of here, I will have stories to share and save young people my age. What he wants to do, he wants to go into share his testimony, that he may share his testimony. Now, you know, he's a Christian now, but he's writing me as a Christian. Before, you know, he was not a Christian. He says, I want to go out there and talk to people my age, and that's my dream for now. Thanks to you, Nick, you have inspired me, and through your story, I found an answer, and I figure out the reason I am behind captivity. By the way, the verses that you wrote down on my book, because every time I sign a book, I sign them with a scripture on there. And if they don't have a Bible, I get the chaplain to give them one so they can read the scripture that I write down. So he says, by the way, the verses that you wrote down on my book is the first time I ever picked up a Bible. The first verses that I ever read in the first time I laid hands on those scriptures, and not to mention it, is one of my favorite verses now. Thanks to you so much for sharing the blessings and the gospel. Gospel is G-O-S-S-I-B-A-L. He writes just like me. Gospel of the Lord. That's what it's all about. You know, we have an accountability to share Jesus and a responsibility, not only to our children and our neighbors, you know, they see Jesus in us. You know, what's the difference about you? I'll tell you what, Jesus saved me and he filled me, and now I am, new name is written down in glory. For the past 42 years, I thank and I praise him for being willing enough to touch me and store me back to where I belong. Amen? But as we grow in the Lord, things do happen. By the way, any of you have read this book? And let me see some hands. Okay, great. Well, that's my life story. And what's your name?
Randy.
Do you think everybody in here will recommend this book, or they'll be blessed by reading it?
Absolutely.
Sure, absolutely. So you recommend the book.
Amen.
So for a donation of $1,000, it doesn't work that way? I'll give you the book free. If you give me $150,000, but you get the book for free. Anyway. Boy, sometimes, you know, sometimes. If I was God, I don't like to throw stones on nothing, but I think sometimes he looks at us and he looks at us as the rascals we are sometimes. You know. And I'm probably being one of the big ambulances. I love him. By the way, if I'd like for you to have this book, and I ask for a donation to the ministry. You know. But I'm going to ask Holly, if you don't mind, because you help me with the book. And is that all right? And Debbie, would you help, please? Thank you. And if you'd like to give a donation to the ministry, what it does, we print more books, and we can't print them fast enough for the glory of God, you know, because it is a life-changing testimony. You know, if you have a Bible for the next few moments, turn to the book of Job, because I'd like to share something with you that the Lord just showed me. And well, not just showed me, for the last few months, I've been going through it myself. And as I go through it, the sermon gets better and better. See, you probably came here. For those of you visiting, by the way, don't judge this church by me. You know, the pastor has the will to let me have the pulpit for an hour and a half, and then it takes him about a year to put the church back together after I leave. You know, no, I don't think so. It's just that God can use every one of us. I don't care who you are. Just like our fingers, they're all different, but they make the hand. Amen. You know, any one of us, no matter where, who you are, where you're sitting, in a high place or low place, you know, He can, every one of us, we can be for His glory and for His honor. Amen? Yeah. To be testimonies for Him. That's what I like about that Muslim saying, I like to go back to school, in schools and so on, to tell others about Jesus. And I kind of like that. Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that You anoint His word. Anoint our hearts and our ears that we may hear spiritually and physically. And we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor today. Because it is good when brethren dwell together in unity. So bless Your word, Father, we pray as You will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. The book of Job. There was a man in the land of Oz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, and he was an upright man. You know, this is the beginning of Job. A man that was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and he shunned from evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she donkeys. And he was a very great, I mean, many, many servants, great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. His sons went and feast in their houses every one of the day. They were having a party. They were feasting and having a great party. But in verse 6 is that there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, where you come from? Satan answered and said, from going to and fro, from walking in and up and down in the earth, or in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the whole earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feared God and shuns evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear for anything? Does he have a need for anything? Has not thou made a hedge around him and about his house and of all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance increased in his hands. I mean, say he has everything. You have blessed him so much that he has a need for nothing. But he forgot. He says the works of his hands. He worked for it. Nobody gave it to him. He worked for it. The works of his hands. There's nothing wrong with that. And of course, now the word diabolos in the Greek, or satanas, or diabolos, means the accuser. He accuses you. I mean, he goes around and accuses you. You know, and he does a pretty good job sometimes, because he gets us when we are weak, and we say, well, maybe that's right. You know, that doubt and that fear creeps in. So bear with me. And Satan, of course, told him, he says, let me touch him and let me just touch the things that he owns and see what happens. He'll curse you to his face, to your face. But put forth in verse 11, put thy hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord gave him leave to do so. But then it turns around and it says in verse, and there was a day, verse 13, when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking with their eldest brother's house, and their a messenger came unto Job and said unto the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yeah, they have slain every servant or your servants with the edge of the sword. And I only wanted to escape alone to tell thee. While yet he was speaking, there came on another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and thy servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While yet he was speaking, now this is bam, bam, bam. While yet he was speaking, it says, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a tornado from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and he fell upon the young man, and they all are dead. And I am the only one that escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, listen to this. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In all this, Job sinned not, and charged God foolishly. And that reminded me as I was reading this about when I was working with Teen Challenge. I was just a brand new baby in Christ, did not know very much. I got saved in 72. This happened in 75 when the young lady come up to me. She says, I was so angry at the church. I'm so angry at Christians, so angry at the pastor, angry at me. Never met me except, I was working for Teen Challenge. And she says, where was God? Where was God when my baby died? Why did he kill my baby? Why did he take it? If he is who he's supposed to be, that he is, why did he, I did not know what to answer. I did not know how to answer her because I had just gotten saved. I was just learning. I was on the job training. On the job training. That means, I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the man I really want to be, but I thank God I am the man I used to be. That I'm okay, And the more I grow, the more the umbilical cord has been cut. And now I walk, as a youngster, I was a young man. And then as an older man, I think as an older person. And I do pretty good in knowing him. But then I looked at her and the Lord gave me an answer for her. Where was God when my baby died? Why did he take my baby away? I says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not the Lord. They did not know, back in Job's day, they didn't know about grace. So that's why he says, well, the Lord gave and the Lord take it away. And blessed be his name. Do we thank God only for the bad things or for the good things and whatever have you? They did not know about grace. But I told her, I says, God was in the exact same place where his baby died. When his baby died, he was in the exact same place. You understand? Where his baby died. The angel comes. The dark one comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not the one of light. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So don't charge God foolishly. God did it. Why did he allow it to do it? Then you get stupid questions in prison like you and I do here. Times, can God make a rock big enough he cannot carry?
Right.
And so on. Stupid questions deserve stupid answers. And this is the way I am, But I thought about all this while my motor home was burning down. This sermon really came out of a firing furnace. All my dream was, as I was in the ministry, one day that I would get a 1986, not a 2016, a 1986 Bluebird motorhome. Now, that's like the ultimate coach that they ever made, Bluebird ever made. It's just like saying a 1957 Chevy, you know, or to a person or something like that, okay? And I really wanted because it was the ultimate. And God really blessed me with one of them. And I had it for 3 months, took it to Florida because, you know, I go to Florida and I ministered there for 3 months. And it did exactly what I wanted to do. It goes up the mountains at 60 miles an hour instead of 20. You know, it had a turbo engine. And I was on the phone talking to my wife, telling her how beautiful this thing served me, you know, and how blessed we really are, you know, that beyond measures we're blessed. And I'm just bragging, I guess. All of a sudden I start bouncing in that thing like a ping pong, you know. You should have been there, because every time I hit a bump, I'm hitting almost the ceiling, you know, in my head. And I'm trying to stop now. I ain't got no brakes. Wow. Now, you know, when you got a 23-ton bus and you can't stop and you're reading a sign that says city limits, Pearson, Georgia, on 441, if you know anything about that, I'm right on 441, and I'm reading a sign that says city limits 1 mile. And I'm trying to be like Fred Flintstone, trying to put my feet through there, and I can't stop. There's only two lanes, one going north and one going south. That's all there. There's no passing lanes and so on. And on one side of you is just about this much of land, and then comes a creek full of water that's full of water 365 days of the year. And on the other side of you is this much of dirt. And then there's another creek that's loaded with 365 days of the year full of water. Because all the water from the north always goes right through there, you know. So it's always flooded almost in that area. And well, flooded, the creek is. So there's nowhere to go. And that's where you go into your prayer mode. You know what I'm saying? You don't have time to say, Lord, I come before your presence. Jesus! Lord! God! Oh, Lord! You know, be with me. Oh, Lord, stop it. You know, get that angel to stop that thing. Behind me, there's two semi-trucks going north with me. But I'm going south, there's a whole train of cars. So there's no way I can get out of their way. I'm trying to stop, and there's no way I can stop. There's nowhere to pull over. And there's a bridge coming up. Oh, my goodness. You can understand this. You know, this is, I had calmness in my heart. To this moment, I still knew everything. I didn't want to get into town to kill anybody because I couldn't stop. Yeah. But finally, you know, I did make the decision to make it across the bridge. They missed me by hairs, not inches, by hairs, the trucks did. And finally, I get on the other side, and the median opened up a little bit, and I riding across that, knocking down every sign that I can down there to trying to stop. I wish it was a telephone pole or something that maybe would have. Finally, it did stop. Okay, let's make that story. It stopped. And I looked in the side view mirror, and I'm seeing smoke coming from the back. Smoke. And then all of a sudden, the flames. And it wasn't no holy fire. You know, you'll see me when I give holy fire. You know, when I attained the flames, you can see that, the light, I got it. But, and I began to, and the first thing I could have grabbed is just my little attaché case, my little brief, and I run out, and I got my motorcycle in the back, you know, that I tow with me, and this man stops with his wife, and he's trying to help me to get the motorcycle out, and she's hollering, get away from there, it's going to burn, it's going to blow up. I only got about 300 and some gallons of diesel fuel, 65 pounds of propane or butane, whatever you want to call it. That's, you're not going to go by yourself. You're going to take everybody around you with you, you know. So when you go to heaven, you're going to be a lot, you know, you're going to have company. And what's going through my mind all this time? What's going through my mind as I'm going through this? What was going through my mind was the people that had been touched weeks prior to this, or days prior to this, the lives that they were changed in the halfway houses or the prisons or in the hospitals, be there just in time to pray for with the mayor. The mayor wasn't there, but to pray for his mama as she's being graduated. And God had me there in the hospital just in time. You know, because when that family came and I'm holding his mother, you know, and saying, wow, it couldn't be happened just in time to be there to see her go. Great Christian woman too, I heard. I never met a woman in my life. You know, and then visiting a lady that the doctors were telling her that she's not going to live through the night. The doctors told her, the nurses were telling her that she's not going to live through the night. And that was in February. Now it's in March. And she's a witness for the glory of God, how the Lord, and she's being Greek Orthodox, which they think that anything else is just baby stuff. Now all of a sudden the Lord touched her and restored her health. And now she's praising God all over the hospital. And she's praising God all over her neighborhood that the Lord restored her. That what was going through my mind as it was burning this 4 minutes that it took time for everything to just smash and burnt. That what was going through my mind was a calmness. You could have easily said, well, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Don't you see how much I've been trying to serve you? Don't you see how much I've been trying to do? I'm always on the road. I mean, Lord, I'm 60, 70,000 miles a year. I'm on the road. Lord, you know why? I didn't say all that. I had peace within me. It must have been that the man has helped me chop down those tie downs on my trailer over the morning. He must have heard me praying and praying not only for myself, praying for him and the people around me. I didn't want this to happen. And as the fire department came, the man says to me, he says, "Did you see those people in the white van?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "They want to talk with you." So I'm not in a circle. I'm surrounded by police cars and fire trucks and whatever. Miles and miles of traffic stuck on one side and miles of traffic on the other side. And I'm in this Golf in there. And I went to the white van and there's his wife sitting on the passenger side and her husband on the driver's side. And she had a fist full of money. And she says, "We want to give this for your loss. We want to give you for your loss." And I looked at her and I says, I want to thank you very much, but you don't have to do that. All I want is your prayers." She says, "Are you a Christian?" I says, "Well, I am a prison evangelist." And as soon as she heard that, she jumped over. You know how there is a doghouse right here with what they call a doghouse, you know, the cover of the mortar. And you should have seen her jump from the passenger side over her husband. The door opens up and now he's on the ground. You know what I mean? I want to get to me all because I said, you know, I am a prison evangelist. And here we are in the middle of the road now holding hands, praying for one another, praising God, praising God. And then the Lord began to speak to me. And as the Lord began to speak to me, here comes the sermon. Do we really know Him? Because if you know who He is, when the storm comes, there will be peace. Yes. In the eye of the tornado. Yeah. There is peace in the eye of the storm. I began to think about Job. And even when his buddies and his friends, his wife, even told him, he says, "Curse God and die. Why don't you just..." No, he did not. He did not charge God foolishly. And I began to think, and the Lord spoke to me and says to me, you know, "I am the Lord. I am in the beginning I was. In the beginning I was." That means I am God. I created the heavens and the earth. And yes, I was God and perfect God. But then I became flesh. I became flesh and I was under the law of the world. I know what you're going through. So what the Lord was saying to me, I know what you're going through. See, I know what the pastor is going through right now. I know that his wife has got the shingles. The first thing he says, is that what? It's okay to share that. Yeah, now after I said it, he says, "I'll get even with you later." No, I love him. I love him. What the Lord was saying to me, "Nicholas, I know exactly what you're going through. You see, in the flesh, I was disappointed. I was crushed. I felt the pain. I felt hunger. I felt already being told on. I was snitched on. I was crushed. Even in my own circle, Nicholas, I depended on those 12, and that they couldn't even pray for 1 hour. Peter, James, and John was asleep when I came. Not even 1 hour. I depended on them. You see, because I was in the flesh, he went through the same thing you're going through this very second. He knows where you stand. He knows what you're going through. He knows your feelings. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows the hurt that you're carrying. He knows the bundle that you're carrying. And he is with you. And he is with you. And that's what he was saying to me. Everything will be all right.
Hallelujah.
You see, I am greater than Isis. Hallelujah. I am greater than osmosis. I am he that I am. Hallelujah. Just trust me because you are in the palm of my hand. And nothing will pluck you out. You see, the accuser comes and says, well, let me touch him and I have him cursed into your face. You know, the thing that we Christians have is that doubt. That doubt is the biggest enemy we have against us. Surely did God say, don't touch that fruit. You know, so what I wanted to tell you and what I feel is this, is that I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they were put into the firing furnace. And the king, of course, had them bounded. You remember that sermon? Bound. But the strong man went to cast them into the fire furnace. The flames came out and didn't touch Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he burnt the strong man.
Yeah.
It burned them.
Yeah.
You understand? Fear not. That's what the Lord says. I didn't come to give you fear. I come to set you free. You know, and I began to think about all this. And then the king looks inside and he sees not three men, but he sees four. And they were loose, jumping on those flames, just having fellowship on those flames. That means the fire had no hurt on them.
Right.
What was telling me that he's greater than pain. What he's telling me when Stephen was being stoned, I feel like those stones didn't even hurt him. The pain was gone. Because all he did is looked up and he saw Jesus. He saw the Father up above and Jesus on his side. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Yeah.
You see, so he knows exactly what you're going through.
Yes.
Because he's been through it himself. So when he speaks to the Father and he says, I know what Nick is going through because I've been through it. I know what it is to be spit on. I know what it is to be pulled my beard. I know what it is to be crushed. I know what it is to ask for water and they gave me poison. I know what it feels like to depend on somebody and then all of a sudden you're left all alone. Even the closest ones next to him cursed him. Cursed off him and cursed his name. You know, we don't even know him. What are you talking about? We're not one of his. He knows what it is to be denied. And I began to think. And then, of course, I began to feel pretty good inside of me. Now it's 2015. What did I do in 1982? I thought to myself, because I talked to you about growth. Growth. In 1982, I was hosting PTL Club. Some of you remember PTL Club. You know, it was a ministry that reached the world, you know, with Jim Baker at that time, you know, and I was hosting the evening meetings for a whole week, the barn. And I saw people get saved, marriages being rehealed, seeing people really being healed, and goiters just break right into my hands. Goiters, right from them, just burst right in my hands. And I saw all that. But what happened, there was 1982. I was still a babe in Christ. I was just 10 years old. I got saved in 72. And now in 82, I'm traveling throughout the world sharing Jesus. But you know what? There was a shaking going on. We got robbed. Our office got robbed. They waited to tell me this 10 minutes before I got on television. It was Friday. I will never forget the day. It was Friday. And it was the last day I was supposed to be on there, the last sermon I was going to preach. And they waited to 10 minutes prior for me to go on the program so they can tell me. What, in those days yet, there was no hotels or no rooms made yet. I lived in a chalet next to a pond where they had white swans. On those, they had two white swans. I'll never forget that. I never knew that swans fly. But when I heard that we were robbed, I must have screamed so loud that those swans took off. They never came back. I mean, they never came back. I mean, they might, and I thought about the Holy Spirit too. You know, sometimes, you know, we grieve Him and He just flies away. Yeah. Well, anyhow. And they took off. And my driver was with me, and he heard things come out of my mouth, not cursing, but it was just worse than cursing, because I didn't want God to get even. I wanted to get even. You know, I didn't want God to cast fire upon them. I want to put fire upon them. You know, I mean, my anger was, and I knew right away, being streetwise and so on, I knew there was an inside job. But I thought to myself, I surrounded myself with Christians, better people than, you know, great-minded people, people minded with the Lord, dancing in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. You know, how can this happen? You know, how can this happen? You know, I was angry. I was angry because, like you, you know, I was raising money trying to do a program, aftercare, they call it. You know, after they get out of prison, you know, to teach them some kind of trade to become asset to society and whatever they have, instead of being drainage to society, you know, teach them something, you know, teach the wives how to cook, and, you know, by using retired people, using their talents to teach those women and men that were. And we have raised money ready to do this, and now all of it was gone. You're talking about anger? You're talking about want to step on somebody's Adam's apple if they had one? You know? And get even with them? Yes, I wanted to get even. But if it was a child, I thought as a child. Now, instead of want to get even, I caught myself praying for somebody else's life. And I was saying to myself, my God can supply my needs according to His riches and glory. Am I getting through to anybody this very morning? And this is testimony time. And the testimony is a good sermon, believe it or not. Because in all this, Job sinned not or charged God foolishly. Do we really know Him, though? Back in the 60s, I remember in the 70s, there were so many teachers and preachers going around preaching and teaching, and some were preaching their own gospel instead of the Lord's gospel. But we were going and we were following man. I'm sick and tired of hearing what people tell me. Well, I read this book. Don't tell me what this man wrote a book, so I'm following this man or following that. Follow Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Follow Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, come on. Follow His word. There's so many of us that stand behind the pulpit that we do not know Jesus. We know about Him, but we do not know Jesus. You understand? And we are misusing God. And that's so sad. I don't want to throw stones on my brothers and my sisters in the ministry. I do not want to know that. But it's obvious. You see it happening right before our eyes. Send me $1,000 and I'll send you my dirty socks to bless you. It's just as sad. Sad. That's just as, just might as well say that. You know, you're taken away from your church and from your people, you know, to out there because somebody's preaching. No, no, that's some great man of God out there. That's some great man of God. But you can tell by the way they lift him up. You know, I sometimes, you know, think about this. I don't know about you, but I've even done it. When a guy says to me, send me $100 and you'll be blessed by millions. So I wrote him a letter and says, well, don't you send me $100 and you'll be blessed by millions.
Yeah.
I'm just as much in need as you are. God knows. I mean, He takes care of His own. Please don't get me wrong. God knows that. I should not be. I'm meddling now in somebody else's business. But you know when a person stands and says, thus saith the Lord.
There you go.
Thus saith the Lord. And when you speak of Him, you're lifting Him up. You're not lifting yourself or a ministry or yourself. You are lifting Him up because He says, now go in my name. And because you believe. You know, the ministry of inside our ministry is mending broken people. Mending broken lives. That's the ministry of inside our ministries, is to go and proclaim that Jesus is Lord and proclaim that He's the way, the truth, and the light. There is none other, but He is the way, the truth, and the light. Now, I'm not a big theologian. I don't know much about. Yeah, I just now learned how to. I learned how to read and write. I never knew. how to read and write till I went to prison. And first time I ever read a book was the New Testament. And you're talking about trying to learn English. Oh, man. You know. But anyway, some of you already know. We being Greek, you read every letter and you pronounce every letter as you read. So you should have been there, me trying to read. But thank God for a praying mama, and thank God that she raised me as a Christian. Because the things that I've learned as a wee little boy now was becoming alive in me. Amen. Alive. And the more I grow in the Lord, the more I want to talk about Him. Yeah. You know, so many of us back in the 70s, we've learned so much and we carried bigger Bibles than the other person. We gave bumper stickers all over the place. We put bumper stickers all over us. You know what I mean? Know how much I know, you know? You know, we're getting filled with so much equipment against the enemy, and you know what we do? I got more equipment than you do. You know, yeah, you know, I'm following so-and-so. But what we do, we take all our ammunition that those principles give to us, and we put them in the closet so they get rusted. Wow. Or they get, you know, you ever done that? You know, those flares that you put in an exit? I found some that I had put in there for about 20 years ago or so. And work, they were mushed. Good for nothing. They couldn't even strike to light up. So you got to use it. And when the more you use it, the more He levels you. Amen. The more He levels you. And I thank and I praise God. What am I sharing with you today? Yes, Nick, I know what you're going through. But you see, it was all His anyway. It was His from the beginning. One day I asked my wife, you know, because I wanted to find some dirty things on her too, you know what I mean? So I can shove it in her face where we're going. You know, I didn't want her to think she was holier than thou. Even though, you know, she was completely opposite of me. She'd never been in the gang. She'd never been around. But we would have shared the same hell, you know, if Jesus was not Lord of our lives. But I still want to know some of her dirty laundry, you know, just in case. You know, I ever backslide, I would tell her, you know, well, did you know what you did in 1945? So her father owned a grocery store, you know, like a general store on this block. And her brother owned a gas station. And I says to her, Daddy, I says, did you ever get your fingers stuck in the cash register? She didn't know what I meant. I says, did you ever got sticky fingers? She says, what's that? I says, did you ever take any money out of the cash register for yourself? I mean, my mother had a grocery store too in Greece. I will never forget that. I will walk into the store, she patted me down. My grandmother especially. Grandma will pat me down good. You know? And then on the way out, they patted me down all over again. You know? Make sure that I leave the same way I came in, you know. Because I had sticky fingers. So I asked Daddy, I says, did you ever... You know, she says, never. I says, why? I mean, what a dummy. I mean, she could have had everything and everything, you know. I mean, I used to rob one pocket from the other pocket so I can feel good. You know, I says to her, why? She says, it all belonged to us. Why should I steal from myself? I said, wow. The truth. Why should I steal from myself? You know, it's already all ours. You know? It made a lot of sense. And so the Lord says, Nicholas, since it's all mine, don't you worry. It wasn't but a month later, not even a motorhome shows up. Again, person anonymous. Anonymous. See, I love those anonymouses. You know? What is your name, anonymous? You know, only the Lord and I know, and that's kind of good, nice. He always meets the needs. Yeah. You know, as your best suits, your brand new suits, your brand new. In fact, you know, when I go out, I like to look nice, especially when you speak in front of people. You got to look nice presenting yourself. It doesn't matter what you wear, as long as it's nice, you know, clean and whatever have you. And I always do. I carry my best with me as I travel, and everything is just ashes. You know, but guess what? Don't I look nice? I make clothes look real nice, don't I? They wear on me pretty nice. I know. My wife told me. And I believe my wife. Without You know, I can preach this sermon for a week and we'll have a revival. But do you know him? Seriously. Give me some music, would you please? Give me something on the organ or something. Just whatever the Lord puts in your heart. I mean, can you say in your heart, you might be going through something today. You might be going through something. I know he is. I know Annette and her family is. I know that her father prayed the sinner's prayer with me. I know that he has peace in his heart. Do we know him? The Greek word is gnosis. If I abide in ye and ye abide in me, ask anything in my name and it shall be done. That's what he says. To know him is that way. Not just knowledge of him in the head. Not just a great orator. Some of you know me for 40 years. You want me to change? This is who I am. I know the Lord. I met him. He touched me. He taught me. I depend on him. Now, have I ever messed up? Many times. Many a times. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost because he's over there. Come on back where you belong, partner. Come on back where you belong. I've chosen you. You've chosen me. I've chosen you. Now, together we can. Take my yoke upon you and see that it's light. I will see you through it. Maybe they made fun of you. They crushed you. You depended on them. You trusted them. He knows. He knows your finances. He knows your problems. He knows the fights that you are fighting. He knows the cares that you're going through. Why don't you just make an altar right where you are? Just right where you are. Close your eyes and make an altar right where you are. Now give it to him. Thank him, first of all. Thank him for Job's testimony. Thank him for his testimony. No, we will not charge you foolishly, Lord. No, it's not your fault. No, you did not cause this to go through that I'm going through. And boy, I'm telling you, Satan is really trying so hard with this heart disease, this cancer. The big demons of that, this divorce, especially the children, what they're going through even now, the fear. My God is greater. My God whom I serve, for I know whom I have believed. I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed. And I'm only talking to Christians right now. Those of you that know him. And if you're going through something, all you need to do is say, pray for me, Nick. Just pray for me, Nick. Just lift up your eyes and meet mine. All other eyes closed. By lifting up your eyes, what you're saying, I'm going through something right now. Please pray. I want to be delivered from this storm that I'm going through. God bless you for being, wow, honesty is victory. See, that's what it's all about. Honesty is victory. I don't know what you came here to hear this morning. This morning you hear the truth. This morning you hear freedom. He came to set the captive free. Prison is not just behind prison bars. Prison is inside in here. We hold ourselves. Matter of fact, let's all stand. Let's just stand. I want to ask you to do something. All of you that looked up, and those of you that should have looked up, would you just meet me here in the front? Just leave real quickly out of your seats and just come in all the way across. All the way across. You don't have to belong to this church that God spoke to you. You belong to our family. We're in the same family. This is why when we say our Father, our Father. In Greece, we say our Father. In America, we say our Father. In England, we say our Father. In Israel, we say our Father. Our Father. The moment that I made a mistake earlier this morning and I says, where was I? My thought was like this. How great is our God? How great? You cannot explain Him. It is like when I look at an anthill, I see hundreds and thousands of ants. I see their whole activity. I see where they go. I see the scouts. I see the soldiers. I see the workers. I see everyone, well, not everyone, but I see the majority of them. But the Lord sees all. It's like looking down on this earth, because this earth is nothing but a drop in the bucket to what He has created. That's what Isaiah 40 says, that this earth is nothing but a bucket, a drop in the bucket. But He takes enough time to count the hairs on my head. He knows my thoughts before I even speak them. He knows my heart's desire before I even ask. So He knows what you're going through. Some of you need to come forward and rededicate your life to Jesus. Just rededicate it and say, I walked with You. I talked with You. I worked for You. I work with You. But Lord, I feel so alone, and so because I have moved and I need to come back where I belong. You need to come up here too. You need to be up here. By making that commitment, say, I'm coming forward to recommit my life. Is there anyone that will say that? Come on, that's it. That's what it's all about. You think you play the saxophone good? You play it 1,000 times better. 1,000 times better. Because on July the 5th, 2015, you say, here am I, Lord. I'm dedicating my life. Rededicating all of me. All of me. All of me. Now, church, that's it. Come on. Give me a handshake. Welcome home where you belong. Welcome home. Doesn't matter what people think and say. It's what He thinks about. That's what matters the most. What He thinks about you. And that's what it's all about. Welcome home. Welcome home. Now, the rest of you, church, you love the Lord. You know somebody up here. Come and lay hands on them. We're talking about a revival. We're talking about a revival. We want a revival in our church. Pastor was talking at breakfast, and he was talking about a revival. You know how it begins? Like this. That's how revival begins, right here. But the church getting involved. You know somebody up here. Come and lay hands. You too, by the way. Come and lay hands. And you love the Lord. Come and lay hands on somebody that you know up here. Strengthen them. If you have aught against somebody right now, forgive them. Forgive yourself, you know, by setting yourself free. By forgetting them and forgiving them. Anybody else? Let's just pray. Go ahead, we're going to pray again. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a revival. Revive us again, Lord. Revive us again. Restore what the enemy has taken. Just lay hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the joy of the Lord become their strength. Welcome home where you belong. You were looking right through me all the time that I was speaking. I hope you only saw Jesus, and that's all you see. Not a man that doesn't know how to speak. I hope you felt my spirit. And He loves you. As He has forgiven me, surely He has forgiven you. You know, you see, I got shot in the head and the bullet went from here, across here, and out there. I'm ashamed to tell you I was on my deathbed when I accepted Jesus into my life. You don't have to be on your deathbed to say, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Forgive me of my foolishness and my stupidity. Restore to me the joys of the Lord. I knew you.